Current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. It has been a difficult time for music fans who came of age in the 1970s this week. In just over a week, the music world lost rocker David Bowie and Glenn Frey. Frey was co-founder of the Eagles, the band which brought a darker, more reflective mood to the California sound once pioneered by the Beach Boys. But Glenn Frey was a Michigander, and current state's Kevin Lavery is here to tell us more about his early days in Metro Detroit. I know he's a Royal Oak Dondero High School graduate, Kevin.
That's exactly right. In fact, we're going to be hearing a mention of his school here in just a moment. Glenn Frey was born in Detroit, as you say, grew up in Royal Oak. He was good friends with Bob Seger. The two of them collaborated on each other's work. So I spoke with Susan Whitehall about this. She's a music journalist and an author, formerly with the Detroit News. She says the guy who loved soul, country, and rock started off learning the classics.
Glenn, he came from a, you know, modest middle-class background, but he was taking classical piano lessons from an early age, from the age of six. And you don't really think of him in that terms, at least I didn't. But he really was the backbone of the Eagles in terms of as an arranger because of that early classical piano background.
I would have never taken Glenn Frey as a classical pianist. Take it easy.
That's just the thing. He was able to take the raw bones of a song and really arrange it into something. That was just one of his great skills that he brought to the Eagles. And in Desperado, you know, those chords, those are Glenn. That was Glenn's classical piano background that you can hear in that.
It's an understatement, Susan, to say that the Eagles captured the mood and the essence of the 70s. I mean, you know, the sense of despair and decadence of Southern California life in the 70s. But also, Glenn Frey was right there with love songs, even love songs about betrayal. I'm thinking about Lion Eyes. I mean, there was just a real blend of the emotional and the cynical that came from Glenn Frey's work.
Really, there was. They were so deeply embedded in that whole California mythology. The underside of it as well as the beautiful side.
City girls just seem to find out early.
We're talking with music author and journalist Susan Whitehall, formerly of the Detroit News, now a contributor to the paper, about the Detroit roots of the late Glenn Frey of the Eagles. I'm assuming, Susan, that you met Glenn Frey at one point or another in your career. Any personal stories about him?
Yeah, actually, I got to go out to Los Angeles in 1994, and I talked to the men. In fact, we went back and dug up my interview with the guys for the Detroit News story. And at that point, the Eagles had gotten back together after some years of great turmoil. He and Don Henley were great partners, but they also, like any family or marriage, they had their issues, and they were a bit of a dysfunctional family. And Glenn was talking a lot about how it was like a marriage, and it was like any relationship, that they were, it didn't mean they weren't close and they didn't really respect each other, but they had problems dealing with each other. So he was always a little edgier and a little, in a good way, a little more energetic than Don Henley, who had that kind of laid-back Texas thing going on. And Glenn never forgot Detroit. He was always interested in talking about Detroit. I remember one time I was talking to him about going to Royal Oak Dondero High School, and it's right by the railroad tracks, kind of. And he was reminiscing about meeting girlfriends out by the railroad tracks.
She wasn't just another woman. And I couldn't keep from coming on.
From what I hear from girls who were going to school at that time with him, he was quite a good-looking guy, and he had quite a few girlfriends. They were very happy to meet him wherever he wanted to go.
Sure. You know, I wonder if some of those experiences worked their way, even subtle ways, into his lyrics. We'll probably never know.
Oh, absolutely, it did. It's so funny how those guys, it's always through a girlfriend they met each other. He met Bob Seger through a girlfriend. Their girlfriends were friends. And then he met J.D. Souther, who was also a native Detroiter, through their girlfriends, who were sisters. So it's like you had to follow the girlfriends, and you can kind of follow the narrative of their stories.
Who would have known that Detroit, a place known for Motown, a place known for punk, would have produced someone who was a giant in country rock, and not just country rock, a West Coast high lifestyle LA country rock kind of hybrid.
And yeah, as Seeger was telling me, he loved soul music, and that's kind of what he brought to the Eagles. Not only did they call him the Lone Arranger because he arranged so beautifully, but he loved Marvin Gaye, Al Green. He loved Otis Redding so much, he named his youngest child Otis. So he was very much a Detroit guy in that way.
Susan, what kind of a following do you feel the Eagles still have today? They broke up 35-some years ago. What's really the appeal for younger generations? And do you think there are musicians now who have subscribed to the Glenn Frey School of Songwriting?
I think maybe they will. I mean, one good thing about when someone dies like this, and it's happened with David Bowie over the past week, is people start to listen to the music again very intensely. And people who maybe didn't listen to the music before or dismissed it, oh, those guys are just, you know, cocky California guys. But they'll hear it more now, and they'll listen, and they'll realize that there was a lot of complexity to that music. And they were very, very strong songwriters. You know, Bob Seger said that one of the things that reasons he hit it off with Glenn was they both realized how important songwriting was. They just couldn't make it as pop stars. They had to write their own material. And that backbone of musicianship is something that people might not realize about Frey, and they really should. They should look back at that. So, you know, for someone to hear Desperado for the first time, that's a great thing. I can't imagine anyone of any age not appreciating that song.
I kind of hate to say this because it's cliche, but it really seems to fit my mood, at least, as an Eagles fan. Heaven Has a New Kid in Town.
Yeah. There's been a lot of plays on Eagles songs. You know, Heartache Tonight and all that. And it's a shame. It's, you know, he had struggled with rheumatoid arthritis and was taking something for it and to alleviate it, and that kind of led to other problems. And as he's 67 these days, just sounds a little too young. And that's, it was a little too unexpected and a little too quick. I know he had a lot of creativity left in him, and hopefully the rest, you know, these other guys are taking good care of themselves, and, you know, the rock death will slow down a little bit.
I hope so. I wasn't done mourning David Bowie yet.
Oh, I know. I know.
Susan Whitehall is a music journalist and author, a contributor to the Detroit News. We've been talking about the passing of Glenn Frey, co-founder of the Eagles, the iconic band from the 70s, who was raised in the Detroit area. Susan, thank you so much for your recollections of Glenn Frey.
Thank you. Glad to do it.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Labrie.
You look in her eyes.